Hey everyone, welcome back to MetalMessiahRadio.com. I'm your host today, DJ Lovely Laura, and I'm so psyched to have such an iconic legend on the show today. He's been a part of some great, great bands. We all know him from back in the 80s from the band Dokken, and then he got together with the guys from Lynch Mob. He also has a current band going on right now. He's working with lead singer London LeGrand, who was formerly with Brides of Destruction. He's in the band Souls of We. Now, this is all some great stuff. I want you guys to check out. There's all brand new albums out of these bands as well. He's one of the most influential rock guitarists of all times, and we are very honored to have him here on Metal Messiah Radio. Let's welcome Mr. Scary himself, George Lynch. Hey, George.
Applause track for that introduction.
I'm sure they're all clapping in the chat room.
I thought he was coming on the Tonight Show. And after that introduction, I thought you were going to say, but Jeff Beck couldn't be here, so here's George Lynch. But I appreciate that. That's very sweet, and that's awesome. I don't know if you deserve all that, but I appreciate it.
Oh, that's so humble. You definitely deserve all that. You know, George, every fan that I talk to, all the fans that I've talked to just before this interview with you today, have told me that you are truly their inspiration for picking up a guitar. I mean, you have to know that you've inspired so many people. How does that make you feel?
Well, it's hard to really grasp that from my vantage point, but the way I can relate to it is that I have those iconic figures in my life, too, as far as guitar players. And I had recently had the opportunity to meet Jeff Beck, who was like one of the first guitar records I ever owned was Jeff Beck Truth. And wore it out and just have emulated him and idealized his playing, you know, for 40 years. So, actually 45 years, so, or however long he's been around, you know, playing guitar.
Right.
So, you know, I know what that feels like. My argument is that guys of his stature that were there, you know, at that point in time in the history of rock and roll were much larger, more important figures, but that doesn't diminish the effect I might have on some people in my playing, and I appreciate that, and I'm glad that I could inspire someone, but I think it means very little compared to the giants, you know, the Hendrixes and the Pages and the Claptons and the Becks, you know, those guys, and to a lesser extent, you know, Eddie and well, not to a lesser extent, but, you know, Eddie and Yngwie and other great players have come along and really kind of created paradigm shifts and the history of guitar rock. So, but I'm glad to be in the mix. Believe me, I'm just so.
Well, I think you're being way too modest on yourself. I mean, maybe for their era, they are the ones, but for the time and the era that you played with all the great bands that you've been a part of, you're definitely one of the best out there. And I'm not the only one that thinks this, so.
Well, I'll stop our disagreeing with you.
Okay,
you win the argument. Next.
All right, so I want to talk about George. Okay, you're back with Oney Logan and the original singer from Lynch Mob. So you guys are back together with the follow-up album to Wicked Sensation. I saw in the band, Marco Mendoza's in the band, and I'm not sure. I kind of saw two different drummers' names, Tommy Aldridge and Scott Coogan. Who's the drummer now, actually, in the band?
I don't even know. The revolving door. I'm sort of kidding, but... You know, but it is a revolving door, unfortunately. You know, Tommy was never actually played in the band. He was going to go out with Lynch Mob when we in support of Cinderella 2 summers ago. But that tour didn't happen because Tom Kiefer blew his voice out.
Oh, okay.
Or may not know.
I didn't know that.
We did some other stuff, and we used Fred Curry. Fred Curry is kind of in and out of the band here and there. James Kotak, the Scorpions, may join the band for this touring cycle.
Oh, awesome.
We resigned ourselves to the fact that the drummer spot for the short term is going to be a revolving door, and that's okay, you know, because we always get great guys, and it's always a lot of fun. So, slightly confusing there on the drummer part, but the rest of the band is solid, Marco, Oney, and myself, and interestingly, we're leaving for Japan next week, and we're doing a festival with Judas Priest and Dokken.
Oh, cool.
And, it's a huge festival that they have once a year in Japan. And so I'm going to go play with Don at the end of their set. So
oh, awesome.
Rocking. And what the other thing we're doing is we're doing some dates. I'm not sure how many, maybe 15 dates, pretty much in the western part of the states, West Coast, in November and December with Dawkins. So it's Dawkins with special guest Lynch Mob. And then again, I'll probably be going on stage with Don and the guys and jamming a song or two at the end of the set. And that's hopefully a preemptive move for a solid reunion next year. I'm hoping later in the year, but we'll see. You know, I've cried wolf many times before, so.
Well, so glad. I mean, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing a reunion with Dawkins and getting up on the stage. You know what songs that you guys are gonna pick out to play, or
We haven't got to that point. What we're doing right now is actually, you know, Japan is locked, and we're going, and that's all set. But these dates in November, December, what we're working on now, and we have to make that work for everybody.
Right.
And there's a lot of obstacles, without getting into, you know, nuts and bolts, but there are some obstacles. So it's a little bit of work to make it happen. Providing that happens and goes smoothly, I think we might be okay, and maybe something will happen next year. And but what I keep telling Don is, if it doesn't happen soon, it's we're either going to be too old, or one of us is going to, you know, kick the bucket, or people won't care. So I think if we want to put a happy ending to this story, we got a small window of opportunity here before the grunge reinvasion takes us over in the 80s or out the back door. So.
I'm just glad to see it all coming back. You know, it seems like the 80s, I don't know what's going on, but all these bands, and some of the bands that actually didn't get to get signed back in the 80s, are getting signed now. It's incredible.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. A lot of people that I've talked to, some bands that were on the L.A. main strip and stuff when Rat and all these other bands, Dawkins and stuff, were getting signed, and they weren't. There's labels going after them now and signing them.
Wow. Okay. That's news to me. I didn't know that.
All right. Well, how did you and Oney Logan get back together to do this Lynch Mob album?
Well, I've always been open to it, and it was just really up to Oney to be in a place, space where he felt he was ready to do it, and you know, personally and professionally. And he had reached that point a couple of years ago and started reaching back out to me. He'd moved to Switzerland, so he now lives in Switzerland, and he's been there 5 or 6 years, I guess. And, you know, a great life over there, and loves being over there.
Right.
And it's very challenging to play with in a band with somebody that lives halfway around the world, but it's worth it, you know. And so he kind of threw caution to the wind, and we got him a ticket, and he came over and came right up, you know, right from the airport to my studio, and we kind of reacquainted ourselves with each other, became friends, and started working, and just sat down with some acoustic guitars and started writing, and it was the chemistry never went away. So really it wasn't that difficult at all. It was actually a very enjoyable experience getting back together and playing the old songs and writing new songs.
Well, the new album Smoke and Mirrors is incredible. I love it. I always love that bluesy sound that you bring to playing guitar and stuff, George. It's just really awesome. I love it.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, we created something with the first Lynch Mob record, and felt we had to honor that by following it up with, you know, really what I like to think of as the real second Lynch Mob record. It's the follow-up to Wicked Sensation.
Right.
17 years later, but, yeah.
But you did it. Better late than never, right?
Yeah, I'll eventually come around.
All right, and so you're in another band. This is your current band, the Souls of We. Now, I was talking, actually, what's funny, because I had actually been talking a little bit on MySpace to London LeGrand before you guys had gone, you guys have been together for a few years, but before he kind of told me about what was going on before it came out about the Souls of We. So he's formerly with Brides of Destruction. So you guys have an interesting story how you met. This project was laid down, from what I read, for maybe a couple years while you guys were doing some things, and then you got it back together and got this album out. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy. And I don't want to burden anybody with the obstacles we had to endure making this record, the Souls of We record, Let the Truth Be Known. But it was a good 5 years, actually, in the making. And it started out, just to lay the timeline, as a project called Stonehouse, mm-hmm. With Matt, the singer from I can't remember the name of this band right now, but there was another singer involved at one point. And then that project moved it down to L.A., and it became a project called Microdot, which is kind of garage corn meets R&B. It was very kind of strange music, all tuned down, kind of nasty and dirty, and it was a lot of fun very quickly. And London was actually doing my hair on Melrose.
And he's doing your hair?
Yeah, and I walked down Melrose, you know, because that's where everybody shops, you know. And I'd see this guy in a window, and I'm like, what the hell? And I'd walk in there, like, how much to look like that? It looked amazing. And we became, you know, I just became a regular customer. And I went, well, you know, with the way you look, I'm sure you're a musician, right? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure he is. Because usually guys that look like that in Hollywood don't have much substance to back it up.
Right, exactly.
Broad generalization, but and that's what I assumed. And he said he was a singer, and I thought, oh, yeah, sure you are. And then but we became such good friends, and I thought, well, you know, if this guy's got any skills, he's certainly got the personality. He's got a bigger-than-life character. Amazing. He's just magnetic and just the sweetest guy on the planet. And I thought, well, if this guy's got anything to back it up, he could be dangerous. So I brought him down to this little studio I was working in Studio City, doing the Microdot thing, and he came in with his 10 Red Bulls, and we locked him in a closet with a mic, and it was awesome. And I was like, damn, dude, and his lyrics are just, you know, it's like street Hollywood poetry. It's just amazing, and nobody can do that. So I thought, this guy's really got the goods, so we got to stay together. And that project turned into a project called Band of Flakes with the bass player from Snake River Conspiracy and Scott Coogan and so forth in London.
Right.
Well, that dissolved for whatever reason. Oh, well, London left for Brides of Destruction. And then there was some talk about me joining Brides, and that didn't happen, obviously. And London did a two-year stint with them. And I kept working on the project, which became known as something else. I called it, I think, West Hollywood Starfish, just as a joke name. And I kept working on it. And then Brides folded, and London went back to work. Cutting hair, I went back to being one of his customers, and I said, well, look, I'm still working on the record. You want to come back? And he did. And he came back, and I threw him down a CD. And in the meantime, I had done all these tracks with Mike Rengren from Disturbed and Morgan from Seven Dust and Jeff Pilson on bass and guys from Mother Love Bone and Steve Vai's band and just a litany of guys that have just been helping me on this record. Real superstar power, and I really had honed the songs down to where I thought, you know, I really got something here. And it had taken years and years. And so he came in at the 11th hour, and I gave him a cassette, and which is what he wanted. He went back to his apartment, and so he stayed up all night with a ghetto blaster and a little four-track, bouncing tracks back and forth, and did like two or three songs, wrote all the lyrics, did all the vocals, and it just blew my mind. And that was like Let the Truth Be Known, Skeleton Key.
Right.
You know, he just did it, I mean, by himself. So I was like, dude, let's put this together and let's finish this thing. And we did. And then we had Mud Rock from, he was a great mixer. He mixed quite a few bands, Avenged Sevenfold, among others. And he mixed the record, and we got the artwork done. We have two different album covers, and we just finished a video. We just finished a tour. We toured out there for about 5-6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like winning hearts and minds across the country. Wherever we could, and we toured the hard way. You know, we went out with a trailer and a van, and roomed up together with one crew person, 23-year-old girl, and she was fantastic. And we put on 22,000 miles and drove around the country and played for people, and it was awesome. We had a blast.
So, how do people respond to this? I mean, this Souls of We have a little different sound with this, a little swagger going on. What kind of genre is this?
I don't know, and that's what's the beauty of it. You really can't pigeonhole it. I mean, it's not extremely adventurous music, but it's definitely left of what I normally do. And so I learned a lesson with the Smoke This record, which is a Lynch Mob record, I believe, in 2000 that I did. And I got together with this band of guys that were basically just hip-hop or rap metal guys, you know. And we did this record called Smoke This. And I thought it was a good record, and the band was a lot of fun. And we went out on tour, and we got eggs thrown at us. I mean,
oh my God!
Even
in
droves, and so you know, I should have called the band Lynch Biscuit. Is my I called it Lynch Mob, which misrepresented the band. If I called it something else, I probably could have got away with it. But I really learned that, that a lot of rock listeners are very conservative and really not open to new ideas as far as particular bands. In other words, you don't want AC/DC to become something else.
Right.
You know, or Judas Priest, or the bands that, and primarily my fan base are guys, you know, it's a male audience, and they stay with you forever, but they don't want to see their brands change. So when George Lynch throws a wrench in the gears and goes, oh, okay, I want to do a hip-hop record, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, you're not. And so, they, you know, I didn't get a lot of support on that record. So I learned from that that, you know, I can't stray too far from what I'm known for.
Right.
But I thought Souls was not too much of a stretch, but it is definitely left to center. And the thing is, I've never seen anybody walk out. I mean, we play shows. Whether there's 50 people there or 1,000 people there,
right.
Definitely the band is awesome. You know, and I played in a lot of bands. And we got Johnny Chow on bass now from Cavalier Conspiracy.
Right.
Jordan from As I Lay Dying plays drums with us when he can, when he's not working with As I Lay Dying. We have two guitar players and London, and he's you know, he's a show unto himself, obviously. I mean, the first show that we did in Phoenix, which was a little rough, he came out with a black leather dress.
Oh, my God.
Bloody pitchfork, bat wings on his back, a two-foot-high white cowboy hat, you know, furry cowboy hat.
Yeah.
He's already 6'4", you know.
Right.
And he had a buffalo skull, chrome buffalo skull duct tape to his bloody pitchfork. Proceeded to pass out in the second song. You know, I told him, dude, it's 105 degrees, so you might want to take off the leather dress. But
Right.
he's just really come into his own since we've done, you know, put a few shows under our belt. Got very confident and just a lot of fun. And I mean, we rocked the house. I mean, what people come up to me and say is, you just did a stadium show in a club.
Right.
And
right.
Some people come and say, this is the best concert I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, I take that with a grain of salt. And apparently, you haven't.
Yeah.
You know, Alice in Chains and Nine Inch Nails or Tool, but. You know, I mean, we hold our own, and definitely have, you know, don't have to make any apologies for the band live.
So you guys think you'll pick it back up after you get back from Japan and stuff? You guys will still tour around a little bit?
Lynch Mob, as I said, is going to go out with we're doing a show with Alice Cooper for Halloween.
All right. Where's that going to be?
California. Yeah, and then I think we're going out with Ace Frehley for a while, and then there's going to be those Doc and Lynch Mob shows in November and December, if that all comes together. And then Souls, it looks like Souls may go to Japan. Actually, we're booked to go to Japan in January and go to South America in February. And we also just finished a video, which is going to be coming out very, very soon.
From which band?
The song Skeleton Key.
Is that from the Souls of We Band?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Skeleton Key is kind of the lead track. That and January are the two kind of. Well, we don't really have singles on the record, but those are the two songs we try to emphasize. January being a little more commercial, and that's our opening song live, and then Skeleton Key is a little bit more of a kick in the teeth.
Oh, very cool. Looking forward to that video for sure. All right, well, let's move on a little bit, George. I don't want to take up all your time here, but I want to talk about the artwork. That is so cool, that stuff I'm seeing over there at legacyof10.com and your online dojo, Sensei Lynch. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in this part of your life.
Well, I work with Scene 4, who also at the Dojo, which is my online guitar academy, and they came up with this concept of doing 200 canvases. And originally it was just going to be a 30 by 40 inch canvas with a print of this really artistic picture that we took down in Chinatown or wherever it was, some really ethnic part of town. It was really an amazing shot, and with this wonderful Russian fashion photographer who uses like $15 Russian plastic camera, and he did all these tricks with it, and, you know, triple exposure and everything.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. And originally it was, we intended just to be, you know, sign it, sell it, you know, and that's cool.
Right.
And I started thinking, well, you know, I could do something with this. I mean, let me embellish it a little bit. So I started doing very small things to it, you know, doing some artwork, doing what I call mosaic pointillism, just little detailed kind of stuff, mosaic kind of stuff. You know, on the borders or on the bottom next to my signature, and then I do these handprints that I...
Right.
But then it's just started evolving on its own, and I started really getting into it. So, you know, as I got into like the 30th piece and then the 50th piece, and I really started doing other things and learning from other artists and looking at myself as an artist, but, you know, stealing ideas from other people and plagiarizing them and doing it my own way.
All right.
And now these last, you know, the whole last kind of 50 I've done are just really kind of more involved, and I love it. I mean, I'll do like Native American themes, and I'll integrate like bones and bats and, you know, currency, and I do all kinds of things to it where I'll torch it and paint it and do borders and just, I don't know, they're all unique. I do them all different.
Wow, so they're all different. You hand did them all yourself, right?
Absolutely, of course.
And they're affordable? How much are they going for, George?
They're $500.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
And they also come with the DVD of me making it, and if it, you know, letter of authenticity, and they're all numbered and everything. There's only 100 going to individuals, and then the other 100 are going to galleries.
Right.
And I'm almost done with the first 100. I think I've done 75.
Wow.
75 to go, and it's just a matter of finding the time to do it. But that led to me doing actual art pieces, which are actually installations, and I've done about a half a dozen of those. And I've also got some galleries coming up, and those are, there's a lot more to those. I mean, those are also viewable on my website.
Oh, cool.
And then that led to me building guitars.
So yes, I saw that video. I saw the video of you building the guitars. Well, I have to ask real quick, George, what is the, is it a skeleton something in one of those guitars? But I can't figure out what it is.
Really? Well, I mean, I do all different things to them, but one of the themes that people really resonate with people and they're liking is I take like an ESP Strat body with a certain kind of wood, tone wood, or a mahogany or Carina wood V, and I route it all out by hand. And,
yeah.
Create these kind of a three-dimensional topography on the surface of the guitar. It's very deep, and it's similar to kind of the Bones guitar, you know, where it's very weathered. I set the thing on fire, I paint it, I sand it and Dremel it to the point where it's unrecognizable.
Right.
It takes a lot of time, and then I take all the metal parts and I distress those. I wind all the pickups by hand.
Right.
Distress those. And then what I've been doing lately is I've been collecting bones from everywhere, and I've been Dremeling out cavities so these bones are flush with the surface of the guitar.
Right.
I create spines and rib cages and things like that, or embed like a whole nest of skulls with LEDs backlit into the control cavity, and then I build custom control cavities that are all rusted out and distressed and so forth. So the guitars look, you know, 50 years old and made of just beautiful woods and hand-wound pickups, and I'll put, you know, like old Dokken pickups or Screaming Demon prototypes in there, or old Floyd Roses that were, you know, prototype Floyds that Floyd built himself in his garage, or German-made non-fine tunables, or old Mighty Mike parts. So really just each one is a kind of an artistic expression and unique, but also a very playable, beautiful-sounding guitar. So.
Right, right. So those for your keeping, or are you going to be selling?
No, I don't even have one. I sell them faster than I can make them.
Really? So you're George Lynch, the guitar maker now, huh? You can have your own line of guitars and make them yourself.
You know, they're under the umbrella of ESP, so I work at ESP. I have a shop there and a spray booth, and I have help, you know, because I'm not really a luthier, but I know guitars enough to be able to deal with most aspects of putting them together, but right. The creative part of it is what I'm very heavily involved in as far as the carving and the artistic work.
Cool video online about all that. All right, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions from your fans. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right, Andre from Portugal wanted me to ask you about the hand tapping technique. Is that from, was that created by George Lynch or Van Halen?
Neither one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't think you can find the source for anything on this planet. I mean, we all build on the shoulders of our predecessors, and everything, whether it's, you know, in any discipline, whether it's music or science or literature or anything else, you know, it's all just an idea that's been passed on and evolved from someone from an earlier generation. And trying to find the originator of anything, I think, is pretty impossible.
All right, very cool.
Even Darwin didn't conceive unilaterally of the idea of evolution. So, tapping's been around for a while. George Van Epps in the 50s actually did tapping. He played a 7-string guitar.
Right.
Brian May tapped before either I or Eddie did. But I remember there was in Hollywood, there was a show at the Starwood, and Canned Heat was playing. And after rehearsals, a lot of times at night, a lot of us would just go down there and see whoever was playing. We'd just check it out,
Right.
And Harvey Mandel was playing guitar, and Eddie was there, too. And we're both standing up there on the balcony. And, Canned Heat, they're cool, whatever. But then Harvey Mandel did a guitar solo, so by himself, a cappella, and it started out kind of whatever. And then he started doing this kind of neoclassical tapping little pattern, and we went, what the fuck is that? That's cool. And I think it both registered in our minds that, we're going to take that to the next level.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody invented anything. Eddie definitely.
All right. Well, there's your answer, Andre. Okay, we got another one from Gus Strax from Greece, who wants to know, when you were working out and all the bodybuilding that you did that affect your guitar playing in any kind of a negative way?
In a negative and a positive way. I think the positive was that it gave me a lot of mental acuity and a lot of energy. And, there's nothing wrong with, being fit and working out and all that, and that's good for anyone. But the negatives were is that I took it to such an extreme level that I actually spent so much time in the gym that when I go to play any kind of extended solos,
right,
the sort of muscle static contractions in my left forearm.
Right.
So that was not a good thing.
right. All right. Well, there's your answer, Gus. And we got one more from Tree from Boston, and she was asking about your teaching. Now, I know you're doing this online teaching thing. How personal do you get with your students, on a one-on-one basis, or do you do anything on the side where you're actually teaching one-on-one? And is there a student that, you might want to brag about a little bit, maybe remind you of yourself, George?
Well, let's see. I'll answer the last question first. There are a few students in the dojo that definitely stand out. Now, they join the dojo because they like my playing, so obviously they're going to possibly emulate me. But I really try to encourage guys to not do that. I mean, I think it's important. In fact, one of the most important things, if the not most important thing, is to find your own voice.
Right.
It doesn't do any good unless you're in a Doc and cover band or something to play like me. I mean, what's the point?
Right.
I mean, you learn from someone else, as we were talking about earlier. And you build on that.
Right.
Make it somewhere else. You mean make it your own. And I think that's where I try to guide people, not to sound like me or anyone else. But there is one guy in particular who I'm actually friends with, and he's in England. His name is Jay Palmer, and he's fantastic. I mean, and he does sort of emulate me, but he does his own thing as well. But he's very articulate and, great tone, great hands, and great phrasing. And there's a few of them which, I know them by their screen names more than their actual names. But and as far as involvement, yes, I'm very, very involved. I mean, beyond, the taping of the lessons and all the other things we do on the dojo, like, for composition and recording and equipment and
right,
music biz and all kinds of things like that. Yeah, we have, we have a few people that work the dojo, but involved with the questions, I'm involved with the testing. And I'm also involved in the contest. We have a monthly contest where people submit their MP3s, and whoever wins, we have a monthly, giveaway. So it could be anything from an acoustic guitar, Washburn acoustic guitar, to one of my old pickups from docking days, or an old neck, or a Zoom G2G Mr. Scary pedal, all kinds of things like that. Kind of meaningful prizes.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it keeps it fun and interesting, and it works on a lot of different levels.
Well, George, I have just enjoyed so much talking with you. You're definitely one of my favorite guitarists of all time, and it's just an honor to have you on the show and be able to share so much about your life. And we'd definitely love to have you back on again sometime. We wish you the best over in Japan and with this new band, Souls of We. And I want to get a couple shout-outs from you just before I let you go. I know you got to get out of here. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely, and I appreciate the interview, and my door's always open.
All right, awesome.
All right, George, well, basically, you've done this a million times, so basically, this is what I want you to say. Hey, this is guitarist George Lynch. You're listening to DJ Lovely Laura on Metal Messiah Radio, and I'll tell you when to go, okay?
And what was your name again?
DJ Lovely Laura.
DJ Lovely Laura, got it.
Okay, go.
Hey, this is guitarist George Lynch from Dokken, Lynch Mob, and Souls of We, and you're listening to DJ Lovely Laura on Metal Messiah.
Awesome. Okay, let's do one more with just Metal Messiah without my name for the station ID, and then we'll be done.
Awesome.
All right, go.
Hey, this is guitarist George Lynch from Dokken, Lynch Mob, and Souls of We, and you're listening to Metal Messiah.
All right, George, hold on just 1 second. I'll be right with you, okay? Hey, everyone, I just want to thank you for joining us today with one of guitar icons. George Lynch was live with us. I hope you got a chance to check out the whole interview. I will have this podcasted up later on today for all of you that missed it. He's one of the most influential rock guitarists of all times, and I know you guys remember him from the Dokken days. Lynch Mob and those guys are back together, and his great band working with London LeGrand, formerly with Brides of Destruction, Souls of We. There's brand new albums out of that band. It's called Let the Truth Be Known, and the Lynch Mob new album is Smoke and Mirrors, so go pick it up today. We're going to kick it off with some brand new stuff. This is brand new Lynch Mob on Metal Messiah Radio.